I'm back. Another episode of the Self-Development with Tactics podcast. Today I'm willing to go through something Zen-related and the mind-related. I think this is quite always really useful, you know, no matter what you are doing, what, you know, someone else is doing. Thinking about the mind, thinking about one's behavior as well, also in the context of the mind and or the, neuroscience, I would say, I think is a good idea. And I'm going to show you what it's all about. It's probably something that I've already went through probably a few times. It is Zen Mind's Beginner's Mind by Shunryu Suzuki from the Nat Eliason .com site. I don't know if I'm gonna go through the whole one once again, since I have gone through it already, probably. But it might lead to some other insights, might lead to me, you know, googling some stuff and whatever, which may be quite interesting. So let's see. High-level thoughts. Primarily useful in its ability to inspire introspection, worth reading for practitioners of mindfulness. Keep the concept of beginner's mind present to avoid hubris or limited potential. So once again, Zen mind, beginner's mind, like this is my mind, this is her mind, the beginner's mind. The practice of Zen mind is beginner's mind, the innocence of the first inquiry, or inquiry, I never ever know, what am I, is needed throughout Zen practice. The mind of the beginner is empty, free of the habit of the expert, ready to accept, to doubt, and open to all the possibilities. It is the kind of mind which can see things as they are, which step by step and in a flash can realize the original nature of everything. If your mind is empty, it is always ready for anything. It is open to everything. In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are few. I think it depends what it is all about. I think that, you know, I'm thinking about architecture. When I do not really know how to build a house, there is basically no possibility. But, unless, of course, I'm just like really, really, really a beginner in my mind. What I'm going to say is, okay, I'm a child and I don't know how physics work. So, of course, I can just, I don't know, take a tree, turn it upside down, magic it into some logs or some shit. I don't know. Basically, you could do anything and everything. But yeah, The question there is where to start and where to stop. So my beginner's mind, who is a beginner, what age is a beginner, and so on. This is also the real secret of the arts. Always be a beginner. Be very, very careful about this point. If you start to practice Zazen or Zazen, Zazen, you will begin to appreciate your beginner's mind. It is the secret of Zen practice. Doing something is expressing our own nature. We do not exist for the sake of something else. We exist for the sake of ourselves. The state of mind that exists when you sit in the right posture is itself enlightenment. If you cannot be satisfied with the state of mind you have in Zazen or Zazen, it means your mind is still wandering about. Our body and mind should not be wobbling or wandering about. In this posture, there is no need to talk about the right state of mind. You already have it. This is the conclusion of Buddhism. So when you practice Zazen, your mind should be concentrated on your breathing. This kind of activity is the fundamental activity of the universal being. Without this experience, this practice, it is impossible to attain absolute freedom. Control to give your sheep or cow a large, spacious meadow is the way to control him. I think the overall message of the book apparently is quite great. I mean, this is basically the end of this book note, and of course it is rather difficult to say, you know, what the essence of it all is, and you know what the total book is all about, or the whole book is, you know, really about, and or whether it is good or not. But it just gives you some sort of an insight into what it could be about, what you could see, what you could experience there, and so on and so forth. This is in German. I don't want to have it in German. So we're having the lotus, the demi-lotus, Birmane, Caesar, so S-E-I-Z-A, and Jaise, whatever it is, I don't know. Zazen meditation practices. I do want to read about that, but this is a newsletter. ASZC, Atlanta Soto Zen Center. That is a cool name. Posture. Keep the back straight and centered. Relax any tension in the body. Sit with eyes half open in a soft gaze. Sit on cushion or safu, cross-legged or at the edge of a chair. Attention. Allow thoughts to come and go without commenting, judging, or resisting. Focus on the ebb and flow of the breath. Breath in and out through the nose, or breathe in and out through the nose in a relaxed manner that feels most natural to you. Questions and answers with Taiyun Michael Elliston Roshi, or Taiyun Michael Elliston Roshi, whatever. The question is, I am writing to request to be put on your mailing list for your newsletter. Okay, that's definitely none of my interest. What I do wonder, though, is whether there are certain benefits of lotus, whether there is any benefit of the lotus posture, or pose, position, whatever. Let's see. CNI healing charts. What's the actual? Dojo. Do you. The holistic benefits of lotus pose. How to. Easing menstruation and childbirth. Stimulating the lymphatic system. Releasing emotional blockages in the hips. What? Emotional blockages in the hips. Let's go to another site. Maybe the yoga journal is doing us some good. But Masana creates an essential foundation for meditation practice while stretching the front of the thighs and ankles. Is this good? I don't know. So apparently it is called Padmasana, so the lotus pose. Is both a grounding and energizing pose with powerful symbolism behind it. A lotus is rooted in the mud, and when it grows, it blooms into a beautiful flower, says Richard Rosen, director of Pimor Yoga Studio in Oakland, California. In the same way, when a person begins yoga, they are rooted in the mud as part of the mundane world, but as they progress, they can grow into a blooming flower. The lotus is often found in Hindu iconography associated with many powerful deities or something, I don't know. Lakshmi, the goddess of abundance, is often shown sitting on an open lotus and holding another in the hand. The same is true of Ganesha, the elephant-headed destroyer of obstacles, and Lord Vishnu, who is said to present the principle of preservation in the universe. A lore has it that wherever the Buddha walked, lotus flowers bloomed. Yeah. Practice the pose whatever extent your body allows, and don't get caught up in achieving a perfect pose. The benefits. Creates a foundation for meditation practices. It can help manage stress, and when done in a relaxed manner, activates the relaxation response, so the parasympathetic nervous system, and deactivates the stress response from the sympathetic nervous system. But how? May help lower your regular or regulate blood pressure, stretches the front of the thighs, so the quadriceps and also the ankles. That's nice. I totally believe in that. Be mindful, teacher tips. You know, I don't really know what the real benefits of it is. You know, if it really is that good or that useful or yeah, whatever it might be. But it might be still useful to do as some kind of an anchor when I'm thinking about like getting into meditation, and whenever I'm sitting in this position, I am starting to meditate. So I might, you know, be able to use it, well, maybe in school or at work if this is somewhat possible, to also, you know, be a bit more relaxed. Of course, you know, confusing things may not be that smart in terms of, okay, my mind and body then thinks that it's actually interesting to say my body thinks, because it doesn't work, but it is more symbolic, that you know, this is then meditation. But yeah, I think you know what I mean and what I'm heading towards. But I wish you the best and hope to see you soon. So